Presenting three restraining orders just waiting to happen. It's GRD Weekly.
Yeah, too late. Already happened.
Really?
That's four of them this week.
Really?
Again? Well, yeah, it's a slow week. You know,
it's slow. Well, yeah, four.
It's GRD Weekly episode number 31, right?
Yes, we're doing it. Okay, is 31.
I lose track. Or if you count the geek level numbers, we're at 101, baby.
Yeah.
You put them together.
101, wow. We're in introductory class.
Rock on.
I
we
like
are
that.
Carved from pure awesome. It's, what is today? November the 9th, I think, 2008
yes.
for this GRD Weekly 31. Yep. Thank you for joining us. We will be discussing as our main topic this week, as we are post-election, we're going to be talking about political movies. Yo.
Yeah, for those of you who are having withdrawals from the political field,
mm-hmm.
we have some movies to you.
I don't know
watch.
If, do you ever watch The Onion, the little videos of
no.
The Onion?
No.
They have a wonderful one where all the Obama people have no idea what to do. They're lost.
They're lost.
They're still like wandering around like zombies. No, we're not going to lose this. We can still make it happen. It's hysterical. Funny.
Yo, I got this, mother.
Yeah. Yeah, chill all out, everybody.
I got this. So rock on, let's sound off. There to my right,
so funny.
Your left, as you listen on your automobile radio hi-fi stereo system, that, kids, is the Bruce.
Get away from me, I'm going to shoot you, all right?
Wow, he's feeling violent
a
this
little
week,
bit.
But it's fine.
I seem to be a lot more violent.
He's
in
well.
Nowadays.
Yeah, what's up with that?
At
I
least
no
he's
idea.
Well. You have been
yes.
at death's door this last week. We sent flowers, you know. We
oh,
were,
yeah.
I got the black
I got the reef, thank
we
you
We sent
so
over,
much.
You got the reefer
yeah,
we sent you?
The reef.
Oh, right.
Not the reef, no, that.
The witch doctor we sent from Grandma's Boy, he showed up at the door. I hope he didn't scare the neighbors.
Dr. Mugatu.
Yeah, we sent him over. I hope that's
plus the lion comes next week.
Billy sent you some special brownies to make you feel a little better.
And I appreciate that. The dog is really appreciating that.
Yeah, no problem, man. Billy,
I'll punch you in
Billy,
your mouth right now. You know that, right?
I mentioned Billy just in case y'all don't know who that is. Oh, hells, that's Billy Flynn.
Please, Billy, please, no gibberish tonight, please. I beg you.
Oh, well,
yeah,
we're gonna
we'll see what I can do.
Can't I'm just your I'm your humble vicar.
Oh, do me, yo-yo master.
Wow.
Huh. Okay. I do that just for the look you get.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So here we are, kids. It's a toasty Sunday evening. We're recording at the vicarage because the vicaress is out doing, I don't know, I don't ask.
Vicaring.
She's right. She's doing whatever she's doing. Yeah. I have Viclets sleeping upstairs, and so we're taping here in the hovel that is my little dinette corner. Yes, it's not the same as having a real studio, but
you
know,
notice that since it's
do?
No longer summer, we're not upstairs in the overheated room, so we're forced to strip for him. You
dude,
notice
it
that?
Is yeah. so cold in that room. Seriously,
how
I was looking
that work?
At, was looking at heaters.
Really?
It's over the garage. And so there is like no climate
insulation.
Control. Well, yeah, right.
Yeah.
It has insulation, I guess, but
I
you wouldn't
it.
Know it. You yeah. wouldn't know it. We were looking at portable heaters just today for that mug because it's insane up there. Already you can see your breath in my
that
library.
Mug. He's so street, yo. So,
yeah, no, I am street, yo.
You're
lots of people don't know that. What? Anyway, wow. Hell, let's talk about our geeky weeks. Billy, what you been doing, man?
Oh, God of mercy. Let's see. Well, so we haven't talked since before Halloween, so.
It has been a long time.
It has been.
People
so,
are going through GRD Weekly withdrawals.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
like
first
Lou
off.
Rawls.
First off, let's say, yeah, Halloween, of course, know. I'm always the cool house in the neighborhood. I've got the best decorations.
You do have a nicely decorated home.
The kids
yeah,
love that.
Nice.
And, of course, there's treats for the kids, obviously. And, of course, for all the adults that
especially
stop by
brownies?
My house, no Jell-O shooters. We pass
oh,
out Jell-O shooters
job.
For adults.
I had Jell-O shooters at a remote for the first time on Friday. We had
for the
had,
first time?
I've never had Jell-O shooters at a remote before.
Really?
I know that's hard to believe
wow,
of me.
Yeah.
That's not counting the hip flask. That's always there. But, no, yeah. we had folks bring us Jell-O shooters Friday in Urbana for the Oyster Festival.
Wow.
That was nice.
I didn't get any of those
yeah,
on
I'm
Saturday.
You weren't there.
Well, then, let me go ahead and talk about the Urbana Oyster Festival. Because
oh, yes,
Saturday, sir, I was there, and this
in the
year,
rain.
In the rain, I saw you and him walking in the rain.
I wasn't there.
No.
Don't look at me like that.
Shut up. I was the MC for the 51st Annual Urbana Oyster Festival Oyster Shucking Contest.
You were, weren't you?
No, this is
now,
kind
do you have
weird.
All your digits?
My digits?
Still?
Oh, yeah, I didn't know.
There?
I was the MC.
Okay.
I didn't try
right.
to shuck
you
any oysters.
Okay, right, because you're not an oyster
just,
guy. You don't
just,
eat oysters.
Oh,
well,
yes, you do.
Well, here's the thing. For those of you locally in the Richmond area, if you did not throw away today's paper, Sunday, November 9th's paper, if you look at the Metro section on the front page, you will see me on
no
the
way.
Front page.
That's sweet, dude.
Being fed an oyster by Deborah Pratt. Right there in front
who
of
the oyster shucking
the
champion,
oyster shucking champion and
division,
has been for Virginia for how many years in
okay,
a row?
Okay, so
good
theoretically,
God.
Then people anywhere can go online.
They could to
RichmondTimesDispatch.com. It may be inrich.com, but Google Richmond Times Dispatch.
Google Richmond Times Dispatch, and you'll see me
you
head back, mouth
cool.
open, half an oyster sticking out. There you go.
Lovely. Well, let's practice. So that's good. That's
yeah,
awesome, man.
That was kind of cool.
I'm proud of you.
And you know, it is at the bottom it says, and Tappahannock radio personality Billy Flynn. Ooh,
nice
radio personality.
That's right, and Tappahannock proving. to people that it exists.
It does exist.
It does exist.
Right. It absolutely does.
It's a real place.
Let's see. For no particular... Oh, my wife wanted to see this movie, so we watched Night at the Museum.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Horrible.
Wow, that's what we heard. Yeah.
Horrible. You can see the kind of movie that it wanted to be, mm-hmm. these kind of fun movies they used to make back in the... Dude, Dick Van Dyke and Mickey Rooney aren't even any damn good in the movie.
Still couldn't make it funny.
Oh, wow, that's bad. They're not
just,
any good.
It's not funny. It's just not. It's just... Oh, I kept like looking at my watch and I don't wear one. And I'm like, God, really? Is it still on?
Oh, Chevy Chase thing, tapping on the wrist going, oh, look at the time. Gotta go.
And they're going to make a sequel? Really?
Yeah. Another Night at the Museum. Let's try something new here, guys.
Please.
I've been wondering about this for a while because our What'd You Do This Week goes on a little long.
Yeah.
Shall we do topics together? Flynn is on movies right now. You want to roundtable movies and then go to Flynn's next, you know, subject sort of?
I didn't see any.
Okay. Well, that was easy. Let's try this and see if it works. It may not. Okay. Hold on. I got to adjust the Vicar junk real quick. Okay. All right.
He actually did it, too.
Well, he's got to use the tweezers for something.
Oh, damn. I went to see Madagascar 2 today.
Okay.
And it was pretty okay. I enjoyed it.
That's not a regular review.
I didn't see the first one, but my wife told me.
Oh, so you might have got lost in all the intricate plot details.
And my wife told me, she said, no, it's all right. You'll probably be able to keep up with the Byzantine entanglement of plot points that are going to
really?
Be in
Did
Madagascar
that
2.
Way?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty funny. Also, the only other thing this week, I seen Grandma's Boy.
Yeah, there you go.
I ain't never seen Grandma's Boy before.
That
so
movie
Flynn
is funny.
Loaned me his dog-eared copy. Now, granted, it's not a book, but it was still somehow dog-eared, so I know
funny.
That it's been well
dog-eared.
Watched and
Good
well
job.
Loved. Those are my two movies for the week.
How did he see me? How could he see me? That was funny.
Adios, dirt nugget.
Oh, wait, I did see a movie this weekend. I just
What'd you see, yo? You liar?
I saw Beowulf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Phenomenal animation. Phenomenal animation.
You can't say that. Don't even try.
It was good.
It was good. The picture was good. It actually looked live action in some place. Yeah. It was lacking, let's see, what they call a plot.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, blame the author. That was
a thousand years ago.
That's kind of pretty much how the book goes there. I know, but
I can't blame it on
I
that.
I read the
still.
Book in, like, middle school, maybe.
Yeah.
And, of course, in middle school, I got nothing from it. So I have very little memory of this book. I mean, I know of it, and I know the dilly, but I read it, but only technically.
You just need to stop right now. Seriously.
Don't be hating.
Okay. Well, did you get to see it in 3D?
No.
Oh, okay, then let me ask you this question.
Oh, wait.
The scene where they're trying to hide Beowulf's junk pulls you so out. It's so stupid.
Either
let the man wear some clothing or just let it fly free because, oh, my God, it was stupid.
We saw Bart Simpson's song.
We
so
did.
What's the damn difference?
Well, because this is Beowulf. Yeah. He's a man.
But what about the cold, dead eyes Flynn always talks about with CG people?
It was better.
It was better.
It was better in this.
I was expecting. I remember him talking about that. I was expecting to see it, and I was like,
it's nothing like the Polar Express.
But, you know, Angelina Jolie, when she's in live-action movies, same eyes. Same
pretty much,
It's creepy. I
and
can't look at
them either. Same ass.
Like it you're looking at her eyes anyway.
Well, that's true. I wouldn't know she had them.
That's true.
I don't know. All right. What else? What's your next topic
Let's
over
see.
There,
I've caught up on this season's CSI so far.
Television. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down with
television.
So, CSI, okay, it's still fun. I'm enjoying it. It's always good.
Is this just plain old vanilla CSI?
This is just regular CSI. Okay. It's all I watch anymore. Okay. I was watching all three for a while, and I dropped Miami, and then I eventually dropped New York because I realized
seriously,
I just don't care.
Like CSI El Segundo.
CSI Boise. Yeah.
CSI, here's what you do. Show me like a place that doesn't have a really cool high-tech crime lab. Show me the guys having to do the stuff the old school way, like Quincy had to do. That would be interesting.
Because Quincy did that junk.
Quincy and Sam,
they
were on top of that.
That's
CSI
a great
was
everything.
It was, dude. That was awesome. The Sarah Silverman program. God, I love
the
Sarah Silverman program.
Yeah. You don't love the Sarah Silverman program.
No. She is hysterical, and that show is incredibly funny, and she is just so damn hot. God, she's hot. Right. She's hot. South Park.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Since we're talking some sort of an election, it is nice to know that the day after the election, the South Park episode about last night, in which Barack Obama shows up ready to take over and go into the Oval Office, was there, which I believe you had a much better name for than they did.
Yeah, I call it Obama's 11.
Obama's 11. It turns out that
very clever,
Barack
sir.
Obama and John McCain had a big 10-year plan going in which they were going to run for president at the same time since one of them would get in there so they could pull off a heist to steal the Hope Diamond with their little club. It was Ocean's 11.
Awesome.
It was
beautiful.
It was hysterical, dude. Caught up on No Heroics. Everyone's been started watching No Heroics. No Heroics.
No Heroics.
I've actually seen two episodes.
It's clever.
Of it.
Did you
Have
watch
you
know? It? Good. What do you think?
I love it. It's
I love
good.
English humor anyway. So
there's nothing gay about the hotness.
Yeah, the hotness is gayest.
I love the Monkey
heard.
Thunder. You know that because I can't,
bring
stop,
the monkey
I can't
thunder.
Stop talking about yes. that. I love that.
How long does it take to get here? About 2.5 hours.
Excuse me.
Oh, Lord.
What about the Kath and Kim? You guys watch any Kath and Kim?
Nope,
I have seen all of them so far, and it's still not this incredibly hysterical show.
I watched the first
show.
Half, dude. I couldn't do it.
The second episode's better. The first one was quite slow, but dude, the subsequent episodes focus a lot more on Selma Blair's ass.
Well, that's always helpful.
Well, they need something with that show.
A lot. And this last episode that was just on, she was wearing a pair of jeans, and like the little thong is like sticking out, and her friend comes up and goes, "Oh, here's the low rides. Put these on." And she does.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to keep, my wife kind of likes the show, I guess, because she's the one to keep saying let's watch it. And as long as I get to see Selma Blair's ass, I am there.
Still watching The Fringe?
Actually, I haven't seen a couple episodes recently. No.
Well, they haven't. It hasn't been on the last couple weeks because we've had election.
Yeah, I saw week before last. The last one that aired, I did watch.
Yeah, so and I think there's a new one coming out this Tuesday, so we'll be back. But I love me some Fringe.
Vicaris is loving on some Fringe.
Fringe is good, baby.
She thinks Joshua Jackson is tasty.
I saw Chuck last week.
Yes, she thinks he's very
cute. 2 weeks ago, saw Chuck.
Chuck.
Oh, that was
that
was the geekiest show I have ever seen in a while. They had, the
that
entire
he's
show.
Ever seen in a while.
Ever.
Ever in a while.
Ever in a while.
Ever in a while. Shush.
No, go ahead.
The phenomenal show was trying to get to the shut up.
Was it phenomenal?
It was phenomenal.
Was it as phenomenal as Kung Fu Panda?
Sorry.
It had great animation.
I love them. That song, you are an obsession. It was great.
The entire show was about to get to the last screen in Missile Command.
What?
Yeah, the entire episode was trying to get the last screen of Missile Command because there was the code that popped up to stop a missile from launching, a real missile from launching.
Wow.
They had Rush music playing through the entire thing, and You've Got the Touch from the original Transformers movie was the montage.
You got the touch! You got the power!
I was laughing my ass off the entire episode. It was great.
See, the Vicar looks lost now.
Yeah.
Transformers. But am I lost? Linked. Go ahead, air it. Do it. Am I lost?
God, I wasn't prepared.
Awesome.
What the hell?
No, I haven't seen. What?
I don't know. That sounded weird to me. I'm going to check into that later.
Let's see. I've also seen. What else? My Own Worst Enemy, Clone
Wars.
Well,
you watched that. Somebody had to.
Yeah.
Life on Mars. I keep forgetting that Clone Wars is on.
I don't. I remember.
Okay. All right. Well, fine.
Big Bang Theory, where, let's see, Screen, 2008 Awards. The 2008 Screen Awards.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were tying those two subjects together somehow.
No.
Okay. No, well, keep talking. Don't just.
You keep looking at me like you want to say something. I'm like, all right. What,
if I'm going to say something, I'm going to say something.
Yeah,
I'm not going to wait for you to stop. I think you know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Because if I want to, I'll just turn you down. I'll just do this and I'll talk and you guys can't. See? So I can do that.
Hey.
There, okay. There you go. There you go. Y'all chill out. I got this.
Okay. Off-screen stuff. Off-screen stuff. I went to Buffalo Wild Wings to see the UFC 90.
Which one? Where?
Which? See, Glen Allen.
Okay. Oh, not the one downtown, because I think we're counting on going to the one downtown for the pub crawl.
Are you?
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Huh. Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's near Cha-Cha's and everything. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's right down the block away, and it's big, and I'm afraid we're going to have a lot of people. So.
Yeah, we might just do that.
That's a cool place. That's where I met,
it's on the list.
I met Drew.
It's on the list.
Nice.
Sylvia versus Cote.
What?
That sounds dirty.
That's that's
Sylvia.
The fighters. Okay.
Yeah,
the I thought it was like a TV show. Like,
I don't know
that one.
Yeah. If you're going to put up posters for the movie, charge a cover to come into the place,
right?
You might actually want to think about ordering the fight.
What?
They didn't order the fight. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, we go there every time we want to go see the pay-per-views. We go to Buffalo Wild Wings. It's the same one. And they say, yeah, we're going to have it. Yeah, we get that posters up, the charge cover at the door. And then 10 minutes into the fight, I'm like, where is it? We're all waiting. Thank God they had a nice undercard. It was about 4 or 5 fights before the main one. So they went, okay, we'll order it. The manager didn't want to order it for some reason or other.
What? Did you want to come back here and give me my cover charge back and
this
mouth?
This makes no sense.
We were about to dine and dash if they didn't order it.
So there you go. The Buffalo Wild Wings in Glen Allen. They're a-holes.
Well, that is what we call a dick move.
They actually did end up ordering it.
Oh, yeah, under duress.
Yeah, they had to.
They're still
No, a-holes. I don't want to order it. I don't want to. I just wanted to get this.
I got you here now. Come I got on, you, okay. man. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
So, what other things have you done, Bill?
Oh, well, I still got one more thing for TV.
Go ahead.
Because I started season 3 of Buffy.
Oh, did you? Oh, so you're rolling along. Now, are you happier?
The first episode of season 3 of Buffy was amazing.
Oh, good.
And the second one was a piece of crap.
Oh.
Well, you gotta keep you somehow.
Well,
never seen it, so I don't get any geek cred off of that.
There are things about Buffy that I know, so where they actually come into play, I didn't know, and I didn't realize that season 3 quite early on is where we got Faith.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't realize that, and I don't like Faith really that much at all. I didn't like
Faith.
There's either. No need for her to be there, and of course, I don't know. We went into some dumbness, and we didn't really need to. Let's see. Other things. Oh, okay. Rock Band 2. Yes!
Video games. I got nothing, so this will be easy.
Yeah, God, you're on you.
Do I love Rock Band 2?
I know. You talk about it every day. That's what you do to get your to calm down at the end of your days.
Okay.
Or at the beginnings of your days. I know you tell
sometimes, me. Sometimes, yes, I do. Yeah. And don't think I don't see the faces of people at work on those drums. And
Oh, that's violent. Okay.
No, violent would be if I was playing Halo and seeing people's faces
right, well,
on there.
So there's I'll take that.
So one of the things in Rock Band 2 that you can do is from the first Rock Band game for like $5, you can pull like almost all of the songs out of there. Well, nobody rents the Rock Band game near me. So I did the free trial for Gamefly, where it lets, you know, the Netflix for renting games online, had them send me, you know, that and got it moved on my songs for $5, which is cool because they have some rockin' songs. They have Are You Gonna Be My Girl by Jet. They have some really cool songs in the first one. And also rented the Carnival Games Mini Golf, which just wasn't as fun as it could have been. That's for Nintendo.
Yeah, the Wii.
Yeah, Wii. Yeah. I wanted it to be. It's not really a mini golf game the way you would think it would be.
Really?
Yeah. It's.
I think that. Hearing it, you think it's going to be a really fun game because we played golf on the regular Wii.
Each little section, like each little course thing, has like maybe three holes.
So there's like Wii golf is fun.
There's a dinosaur themed one. There's three holes.
That's it.
Whatever happened to the Revolution? Was that ever intended to be the name?
That was the code name.
Ah, okay. Because that was all you would call it back in the Geek Label days. You refused to call it the Wii.
I still do. Did you notice that?
Saying the Nintendo system.
Yes, I said Nintendo system.
Oh, I know you called it Nintendo, but I didn't really catch why. Oh,
yeah. Okay. See, that's why.
I see. All right.
Let's see. Carnival Games, right. Oh, let's see. Ooh, which one I want to do first? Well, since we're talking Lex, let's go ahead and say, I also found some time to do some campaigning. Thank you.
That's right. Oh. You did campaign work. I haven't done that in a decade and a half or
I have never done campaign work in my life. But by God, this time I was like, yes. In fact, up to election night itself, polls in Virginia closed at 7 o'clock. At 6:45, I made my last phone call to a registered voter, reminding them to go ask them if they needed a ride, blah, 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 blah. And I would like to tell you here and now that I helped bring change to the world. Thank you!
But he's not telling you he was actually campaigning for Wendell Willkie. He didn't get the memo.
The Libertarian Party.
Yeah, he didn't get the memo. Wrong guy. It wasn't.
I'd also like to tell you that I know for a fact there's at least six people that did vote for me for president. So thank you.
I wrote in a candidate. I'll tell you that we don't get political on the show, but I did a write in.
Good man.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know why he did? I know this.
Why?
The successful way to keep him from voting for a particular person was to point out the fact that he might lose nudie bars if he went that way.
Yeah, actually, that's true.
That's exactly what that was.
Comic books, kiddies? Any comics?
Dude, no time.
Really?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Between Rock Band, a little bit of campaigning, and the other thing, of course, the big damned computer project, which I'm not going to rant about. But apparently, if all goes well, we're going to be doing some training, the last bit of training tomorrow night. If all goes well, Tuesday we swap out and put the new computer system in.
Mm-hmm.
There will be.
Marvel 1985
I'm surprised you're
done.
Not going to be there, Bruce.
Marvel 1985 is done, sir.
That's exactly
is it?
It's done.
Oh,
issue 6
it.
Is out. I read that. Solomon Kane 2, which continues to be really, really good. The art is very, very, very nice. I recommend it. Astonishing X-Men Ghost Box, number one. This is a little shoot-off miniseries. It's a two-part offshoot miniseries
Ghost
from the
Box?
Current run of Astonishing. And very good. And the DC Halloween special I mentioned to you, I like too.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I wanted to read that. I missed those.
That's what I've done, redified. I'm going to do gaming because I don't think you guys have. I'm still playing my 4E, Paint and Figs for that, back into Paint and Figs, which is nice.
Fig Newtons?
And I'm trying really hard to get a Deadlands game rolling. I bought the first official module, if you want to call it that, for Deadlands Reloaded. Coffin Rock came out this summer. I got hold of that.
Coffin
not
Rock.
Related in any way, to my knowledge, to Schoolhouse Rock, which disappointed
me
a little bit. Yeah,
but indie
rock. You know,
so I'm thinking
rock.
About putting together with like the Breakalls, for example, were interested in that, and young Mistress Jet was interested. Is she still Mistress Jet on the forums?
Those
fine forums over there at geekradiodaily.com.
I believe
So we're talking about doing a Deadlands game and giving that a wing.
Okay.
Give it a try. We'll see.
In our hearts, she's still Mistress Jet.
I understand that. Podcasts? You're the podcast master, Bruce.
I finally finished Philippa Ballantyne's Chasing the Bard.
What'd you think of Chasing the Bard?
I absolutely loved it.
Was that not wonderful? So you're going to do digital magic? I haven't started it yet.
I haven't started that one yet.
You know what I have, as long as you're on the topic of Pitt Ballantyne, have you listened to the new Erotica show?
No, I have not.
Erotica a la carte, I've listened to the first episode, and it's good. As you can well imagine, because she reads the stuff, and you know, she's got the voice, dude.
Oh, my God.
And she's a lovely writer. She's a very,
she is. Very talented
writer and a hot voice to boot.
Ooh, yeah. God, she's hot.
And if you want a, like a preview of what, I haven't heard her new stuff, but if you want a preview of it, it's episode 13 of Chasing the Bard.
Oh, that the action happens. Erotica a la carte, she takes, on the website, she takes recommendations. She's got a poll for the next show.
I bet she does. Does she dance on it?
Funny enough, he had a poll too.
As to whether, what the story will be, will it involve these people, will it involve this setting and this time period, and whatever gets the most votes, that's what she writes it based on.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's very cool. I recommend it. Young Junius.
I'd like to see her dancing on that pole, too.
Hey now. Hey now. Young Junius, by the way, I've got.
Do you want another restraining order? Come on.
No, dude.
I just added to the pile.
Haven't started Harwood's Young Junius. I got the first episode on the iPod, but haven't jumped on it yet, so I'm going
to. How to Succeed in Evil by Patrick McLean.
That's cool.
That's a good title.
Name alone, bravo.
Yes. It actually won a Parsec in 2006.
Yeah, we won't talk about Parsec. Not for a few months, anyway.
It's a story about how a person like Lex Luthor or Kingpin can come into power. And it's Nine Pants. It's really good. It is really good. Oh, also, you know, Chasing the Bard, Nine Pants as well.
Seriously, that's outstanding. That's beautiful.
Yeah. The only problem I have with how to succeed in evil, it's a cold medication. I'm sorry, guys.
Sure. Yeah, blame it on the drugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The episodes are too short. They could put a lot of those episodes together and make them longer
than
7 minutes.
They leave you wanting more, dude.
That's what they do. Yeah. Also listen to Meta Mediocrity.
See, I have not checked out the first episode.
I have
Bad Vicar. I keep forgetting that.
I have listened to both parts, both the audio comic and the pre-show.
Okay.
I don't know what the heck they're going to, what you guys are going to call it. Well, what he's
going
to call
I don't know
that.
What he's going to call that either.
I don't know either. Mr. Billy Flynn, a.k.a. Innuendo Boy.
Because we all had to pick, we picked like little superhero, well, we picked sidekick names, each of us, for the show since we're talking superheroes. So, yes, I was Innuendo Boy for the show.
So, the Kingfish's novel debut, Meta Mediocrity, available on iTunes?
I don't know.
Have we checked that?
Ooh.
I don't think so.
Really?
Really?
I don't know. He didn't say in iTunes.
Yeah, it should be. I'll take a look. I haven't looked. It's easy enough to find out.
If not, it's easy enough. It's Meta Mediocrity. Damn, look at your drugs.
I told you, man.
The brew shows up.
It's in the air.
Just pestilence goes all over the place.
I know.
It's crazy. Stop it!
Stop
it now!
Cough in my his house.
So you can also check me out. In fact, the Flinstress also you can check out. Where both of us are at Scott Roche's Power in the Blood has debuted. It's out there for you now, so you can pick that up. There's dark, nefarious, nasty things going on in there.
And, oh my goodness!
And wait, this is going to come as a shock to you, but I play complete and total ass.
No,
really? Seriously, I'm stretching my acting chops.
I was going to say that's tough, man.
I know. Yeah. What are you going
to
do?
Any music notes? I got a couple music notes to bring up. Anybody got anything musical?
No, not music related.
Okay. I don't care what it sounds like, but Leona Lewis's Better Time, I love that damn song.
Yes, he does.
I love that song.
The studio shuts down. No work is done because Flynn insists on silence and turns up the monitor.
Yes,
when this
I
thing
do.
Comes
I
on.
Crank that damn thing. August Better
Okay. After you're done with the music, I have something else.
Sure. Darius Rucker's new album, Learn to Live. It's good.
I've heard a couple tracks, not the whole
Darius
thing.
Darius Rucker, the lead man from Hootie and the Blowfish. Yeah.
Don't
really
think I don't think about it.
That track, which is number one, was last week anyway, number one country song in America, and it sounds like a Hootie song.
It does.
If you listen to Hootie and the Blowfish music, it's basically country anyway.
It really
is. So if you're thinking, well, there's a black man in a cowboy hat, well, it can be done. Okay, there's
which
a precedent.
Which is funny because
I
saw him sing that song on the Grand Ole Opry. I was like, wow, I didn't think
it's
Charlie Pride
great,
was the last
man.
Guy.
The only time I've
seen Darius Rucker in a cowboy outfit was
the new Tender Chris Bacon Cheddar.
Dude wears cowboy hats. I saw him this summer at Innsbruck and he had a cowboy
hat. He's a
cowboy. Dude really wears cowboy hats a lot, anyway.
He does. He's a country guy at heart.
And the other note I wanted to make, the Cruise Shadows, who I love and we have seen at Dragon Con now for a couple of years. Cruise Shadows is playing Alley Cats November the 28th, Friday, November 28th, downtown. I'm going. Warren is going. Anybody else will send out the word to the GRD Nation.
We'll go.
How do you keep a goth kid from committing suicide?
Yeah.
Shoot him in the head.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay.
We're going to see the Cruise Shadows.
Some of you got offended, but there's three or four of you that just spit all over your monitor, and I do that for you.
Yo, that's awesome. You ever been to Alley Cats?
No, I have not.
It's a dive. It's awesome. It's right. It's in the alley that's basically right across the street from Mars, that little alley that goes around the corner around Tiki Bob's. That's Alley Cats is up in
there. Oh,
really? Yeah.
Wow.
So, GRD Nation, there you go.
That place
we're going to have a little mini GRD.
I know that place. I couldn't find that place.
Hey. That's all I have for music.
Will it be as good as the last one? Because the only music that I have of note is like dancing my ass off at the Halloween thing at Fallout,
baby.
Yeah,
we were just about to talk about that.
There you go. Let's do that. Let's hit up general geeky stuff. Halloween at Fallout. That was nice. If I hadn't been effing exhausted, I would have enjoyed it more. I was an old man.
I actually had – that was the first day off I'd had in 3 weeks was that day.
Oh, that was a blast.
You were a dancing fool.
The next day. It was Saturday. I had Saturday off. That's what it was. Yeah. Right,
I think I danced a whole two songs the entire night. But you, sir, were a dancing fool.
Damn right.
Well, you were wearing that much chainmail. You couldn't really dance all that
well,
much.
Well, yeah, that's true. It was actually a little more challenging than you think.
I was like, you know, I understand your attention to detail, but you might have wanted to skimp out and go cheap with this one so you could actually move.
Vicar dancing was chink, chink.
But the Nine Inch Nails came on, and we
especially because like when you had the hood and stuff up, you kind of covered it, so you know you were defeating your own.
You
purpose.
Couldn't see it anyway. I know.
Yeah. The beautiful thing was he like left at one point because there was no '80s music going on, and as soon as he walked out the door, they played four '80s tracks right in a row.
Yeah,
it was
beautiful. I heard when I came back. Now, for those of you who weren't there, of course, we had the Bruce there in his full on Braveheart. How would you describe your
William
regalia?
Wallace. Yeah, as just about to fight Garb.
That was it with the blue face and everything. That was awesome,
dude.
Pretty,
that was great.
And I'm
at Fallout in another kilt.
Yes, it happens.
Of course,
No. A kilt. Because that wasn't a dress. That was a kilt.
That was an
excuse
kilt.
Me, that wasn't a skirt. Yeah. That actually was.
If it's not plaid, it's a skirt. That's what we've been told now. Yeah. So there you go.
Fine.
I had my Knight Templar uniform. Yes. That's what I was sporting. And Billy Flynn and the Flintstress were Hogwarts students.
Yes, we were. Well, okay. I was a prefect, and she was a naughty little student.
With a little tie. With a little arrow tie pointing to the cleavage. That was cute. Yeah.
It was pointing to the happy places.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. It was indeed. That was a short skirt.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Well, while we're on the topic of going out and Fallout and all that, you know, this here Saturday night, the 15th of November, that's the pub crawl.
Yes, it is.
Holy crap.
Pub crawl.
Pub crawl, y'all.
So should we actually, like, you know, make official plans for this now then?
Yeah.
I suppose we have to, yes.
Yeah. We should probably tell folks.
When we're going to start, where we're going to go.
Now, I saw on the forums over there at geekradiodaily.com.
That's a good damn forum over
there. I was actually able to log back into. I've been off the forums for a while, folks, and I'm sorry, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is, and soon things will be back to whatever you call normal. I call it, you know, this
life.
Dimension.
Yeah.
Well, I figure we'll start at 7.
That's
and we're
going to
start at Rich Brown.
I heard
now,
that too.
Now, beyond that, I'm leaving it deliberately a little hazy because, honestly, I don't know
hazy
what we're going
to
have. I got no effing clue how many people we're going to have.
That's true.
We had like 15 last year.
True.
By my numbers, our minimum is going to be 30 this year, and that's going to create some problems depending on where we go. So I'm going to leave some of it loose. We're definitely going to start at Rich Brow. I think Buffalo Wild Wings is going to be a good idea because it's a block away and it's pretty big.
Right.
Okay.
So maybe. Chennai would be great. I just don't know if we can accommodate. You know what I mean?
See, the trick to Chennai is you would literally have to start there because it's a great place, but it's not big in any way, shape, or form. And if you're not there before the crowd gets there, you're not getting
it. I would like to go to McCormick's again.
That would be nice.
There's an upstairs.
Yes,
so
there
with
is.
The upstairs, I think we can pull off
time.
McCormick's. Yeah,
yes.
I think we can do that. And obviously Mars Fallout is where we always end these things. Anything else in the middle? There's tons of clubs down there, but I think we're going to have to play it by ear.
Yeah, I don't think we want to set up for that many places because, you know, literally it's
we didn't
be
go
like
to that many last year either. Yeah, yeah. So that's loosely. As long as you're at Rich Brow at 7 o'clock, go
we'll
online.
Figure it out from there.
If you haven't already, go to the website and click through the Flickr feed and see what the hell we look like, all right? I'm going to probably wear my GRD t-shirt.
I'll probably have it for the beginning, but I've got to change because, you know, it's 60s night at Fallout.
It's 60s night at Fallout. Bruce and I will probably not dress for that. The GRD shirts are black, so Fallout will be fine.
It says GRD on them.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
look for the GRD t-shirt, for
actually,
God's
the
sake.
Night before at Fallout is Nerds, Geeks, and Dorks.
Is it really?
It is.
Well, I'm going in that.
Blows.
It is.
That
I know.
Not, that it didn't correspond.
That pisses me off tremendously,
how
dude.
How awesome would that be?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Dude, that would have been perfect, man.
Oh.
All right. Well, it is what it is.
What are you going
to
do?
There you go. Look, my last thing, Bruce, I'm still trying to make contact with a reenactment group. I've got some contacts via email with the SCA and with this Adrian Empire I was talking to you about. Okay?
Yes, you were.
There's a meeting Tuesday that I'm going to miss because I've got a game that night. But you mentioned to me in passing, you said you were not as interested in the SCA.
Yes.
Follow up with that, if you don't mind doing so on mic. Why is that? What's
he wants you to say on air something that he can embarrass
really
you with later.
I don't want to get that in-depth with it.
You want a smaller, more local feel organization?
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's not the fact that it's the SCA. It's the fact that I don't want to spend that much time you know, putting that much time and effort into something, I'm not really going to have that much time to spend on it.
Okay, can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
For those out there that are scratching their heads, could you do as a quick thing to tell people that may not know what the SEA is?
See, I was amazed that you – were you the one
– I was the one. I had no idea what you were talking about.
I kind of thought everybody
I was wondering that. If that had anything to do with the FCA, which is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So,
well, yes,
so
no. That's us. You know, we're members of that too, of course. But SCA, sir?
Yeah, you're an athlete.
Oh,
right.
Why are you pointing to me? You're the one that wants to do this.
All right. Society for Creative Anachronisms.
Yes.
And you've already probably derived from the context what they do. But we want to hit one another with padded weaponry.
Yeah.
Basically.
So that's what
basically what it is.
Yeah. So. All right.
I got one more thing.
It makes me feel like a dick.
Dang.
Damn. I got one more thing that I want to talk about before we enter Geeky Weeks. I want to hand right now to you two gentlemen invitations to my graduation party.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
What?
Yo, what you got, home skillet?
I am graduating on December 13th. He's even got your real names on it.
I know. I see that. He's got my freaking real name on it.
It is the actual graduation is going to be at 10 o'clock.
You're actually graduating?
Yes.
You're sure?
Yes. I'm sure. Okay, I'm actually graduating.
Board of Visitors and the President, blah, 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 blah.
Saturday morning, December 13th.
At
10 a.m.
At the Siegel
Center. No. It does not say 10 a.m.
It says
10 o'clock.
It says 10 o'clock.
It could go either
way. There
were
two 10 o'clock.
That's true.
I don't know if you're aware of this.
Show up at 10 at night.
You know, there's a misspelling here. No, I'm fucking. Well, you know, we got to see who's working. Because we work, Billy Flynn and I work for a small radio station.
Yeah,
and one of us is usually working. But,
okay. Really surprised.
I'll see if I can't arrange
that,
around that.
We're having a party at my house starting about 2 o'clock.
Liquor?
Oh, yeah.
What about beverages, adult beverages?
Yeah, beer and wine.
All right. Well, congratulations, sir.
Yes, I
that's lovely. And my alma mater, by the way, and the vicaress's alma mater. And that's
so we're talking open bar?
Well, I'm not charging you for drinks.
Nice.
Okay.
The gentleman had too much mead and he was removed by security.
Nice.
I love Simon is a unicorn. I thought you knew that, Senator.
Beautiful.
Oh, and podcast and Rich Siegfried, I know you're listening. You've got an invitation coming too.
Oh, sweet. The patron saint of this here show, Podcasting's Rich Siegfried. All right.
Ooh, you want to do a little foreshadowing?
Yeah.
We might hear from him later. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, my stars. All right. Well, that's it for the Geeky Week. I don't know what the hell we do next. What do we do here?
Well, we normally do GRD news, but I think we just covered that.
And we kind of covered that.
Yeah.
Buy some panties.
Buy some panties. Right. Please buy panties.
CafePress.com.
And wear them to the pub crawl.
Yeah, get your gear. You got to
And let us check.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. That's pretty much all. Make sure you join the forums because they rock out.
Oh, yeah. GRD, the award show. Get your nomination.
Oh, okay.
You got to go get your voting in.
Go to the forums there.
Yeah.
Which forums?
The forums, those fine forums over there at geekradiodaily.com, sir.
The nominations end on November 30th.
For the geekies?
Yes.
Okay.
The Gerties.
The Gerties.
Gerties. Okay.
Right.
So
GRD Gerties.
I got what you did there.
See?
Nice.
That was good stuff,
okay.
Huh?
So then I guess we should.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Jenna! Okay, fine. Are we doing the print first? I have several print mails.
Oh, then yes, but please.
Do you have these? Did I send you these?
You did not. You never do.
Crap in a hat. There's
well, I would say flip it over and let Bruce read them, but we know that he's illiterate.
No, that's not going to work, so never mind. I'd like to begin by pointing out that it was Barry who talked about Maid of Honor, not me. This is Bruce. Bruce?
Hell. No, it's
this
not.
This is Dave, by the way.
That's Bruce.
Dave says, I will watch some chick flicks. This isn't one of them. Oh, and Bruce, since you're an MMA fan, I got to ask what you thought about the Kimbo Slice fight in quotation marks. I don't know what that means.
It means something to him,
basically,
I'm sure.
Kimbo Slice got in a, was scheduled to fight, I think, Frank Shamrock. He got hurt.
Wait.
You can't just keep going like that didn't just happen.
Frank Shamrock.
What? They always after me lucky charms.
You know, I like the regular lemon lime slice, but I've never tried the Kimbo slice.
No, I haven't either.
They got another.
The Frank Shamrock shake.
Would you turn down your own mic so I could go on with this?
No.
Don't preach to me, fatso.
Oh my! Okay, the vicar's shirt, the same color as his shirt right now.
Oh God! Don't say his name again. Just keep on with what you're saying.
All right. Kimbo was supposed to face somebody else. He got a busted up nose during the warm ups and couldn't fight. So they got somebody else, somebody in a lower weight class, to fight Kimbo. Okay. The fight lasted 14 seconds. This guy ended up beating the hell out of Kimbo in 14 seconds.
And the guy that had to go do it, that wasn't supposed to fight, that was Todd Toadstool, oddly enough.
I don't know the other guy's name, unfortunately, but I mean...
And they were all 4 inches tall! Okay.
It was proof that Kimbo is just A brawler. He got his butt handed to him.
Magically delicious.
To continue. All right, thank you. To take the doctor's theory about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier another step, what if everybody in there really is taking this as the next step of Civil War reenactment in the future? To back up Billy's theory about not being able to change the past, I bring up the episode of Futurama where Fry kills his grandfather, but keeps himself alive by sleeping with his grandma. And welcome to the world of Special Dark Syrup.
What?
Special? Remember, this is from... We haven't done a show in weeks.
Right, sorry.
I only use that to make hot chocolate now, dear God. It's good. Finally, I'm disappointed nobody came to the table with Harvey Dent for president. Track with me here. Is there a man more committed to fighting for right in society than Harvey Dent? So, there you go.
Yes, I think Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan. I think we determined that.
So, till one of the parties actually gives us somebody worth voting for, make mine GRD. All right, I got a couple more. Do you want me to roll with these or do you want to intersperse these with voices?
Yeah, roll them.
Go for it.
All right.
Burn them.
Hello, Vicar, Billy, and Bruce. Just wanted to run something by you. This weekend is Armageddon, which was the first weekend in November. It's behind us now.
Oh,
Major GeekyCon in Melbourne, Australia. Wondering if you would put out the call to GRD listeners who want to go. Sure.
Yeah.
Next year.
God.
Corvus on the GRD forums. There you go.
Sorry,
also,
dude.
Anybody who doesn't know anything
Bruce
about...
Bruce was sick. So
yeah,
you can blame
sick.
Bruce.
Yeah, blame me.
Blame the new guy.
You can look it up on ArmageddonXPO.com. So there you go.
What about Armageddon? Is that like their theme song? Because that would rock.
Yeah, hey, guys. Would. Oh, my God. This is tiny writing. I did this myself. So.
Hold me closer, tiny writing.
Tiny writing. Hey, guys. I'm listening to GRD Shamrock. Weekly, and I just heard Billy Flynn's comments on Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Suck. Oh, this is from... T. Morris. This is from T. Morris. I've been quiet. I've been silent. I've been a good listener and a professional, but I can hold back no longer.
Okay.
I beg of you, Flynn, drop the crack pipe.
Okay. I don't do drugs. Okay? I don't do drugs.
Indiana Jones is exactly what South Park had the balls to say. A Spielberg-Lucas gang rape of an American icon that they created. Let me break it down. You're right. Raiders is simply brilliant. It's classic, no doubt.
Yep.
Still as good as it was way back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Dumb is good, but still fun. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, I would put on par with Raiders. The action is a touch of silliness, but it's not a blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's the problem?
So Sean is Indy's dad? Hell yes. Nazis is bad guys. You can't knock that. Indiana Jones going after the Holy Grail? Yes, he's a freaking archaeologist. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, these are just reasons for all of that. And why.
Yeah.
Okay, Crystal Suck. Was Lucas and Spielberg patting their fans on the heads and touching themselves? Oh, damn. I gave it a shot this summer as it was an Indiana Jones offering and Lucas was not directing. I knew there would be problems when Galadriel tried to work some elven magic on Indy's mind. I continued to suspend disbelief throughout but felt myself being tested. Then LaBeouf swung through the trees with the spider monkeys.
Okay, that's a dumb scene.
Lucas
is.
And Spielberg, I break with thee. I break with thee. I break with thee. Parenthesis throws dog poop on their shoes. Oh, dang. When put up against Iron...
The worst has happened. I'm covered in human feces.
When put up against Iron Man, Dark Knight, Hellboy 2, even the fun offerings like Get Smart and Hancock, Crystal Suck was a train wreck. Oh,
okay.
Damn.
Wow.
All right. I'm going to breathe now.
Okay.
Until Harrison Ford wraps Indy's whip around Lucas's neck and says, tell the world that I shot first, bitch. Make mine GRD, the lovable T. Morris.
I still don't see what people were expecting and what they thought. If you go,
I don't think he liked it.
It's just as dumb.
Really?
It's just as dumb as the other ones. It's just as unbelievable as the other movies.
I'm not a huge fan of any of them.
And besides, your big things. Okay, the first one is going after the Lost Ark, and the third one he's going after the Holy Grail. Okay, those are huge, crazy, big magnum opus kind of crazy things. If you are an Indiana Jones fan, if you have watched the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, if you have read any of the books, in fact, I love the nice little touches to some of the things that happen in the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles that are mentioned in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. This is an older Indiana Jones and just the kind of stuff that he would have been involved in at the time. And none of that is any more unbelievable than faces melting because of a giant damn box having ghosts come out of it.
I'd like to see more midgets. That's the only thing.
And
if I could get midgets in the movie somewhere... They don't have to be the bad guy, or he doesn't have to be going after a midget. There just needs to be midgets sprinkled in the film, because they make everything better.
The swinging with the monkeys, that is a dumb moment. There's dumb moments in all the movies.
But it's monkeys, and everything's better with
monkeys. Is better with monkeys.
So there's that.
And I bought the movie on DVD, and I did not buy Get Smart, because I enjoyed Get Smart, but I don't think it was as good.
All right.
I said it.
Finally, my last piece of print from Jonathan in Birmingham. Just finished listening to your weekly show. Gotta say bravo, bravo.
Thank you.
Also, I know you guys are doing something on Halloween, but do you guys do haunted houses? I was wondering, because one that's awesome down here cost $15 to get in, and my girlfriend was so scared.
$15, little man. Put that shit in my hand. If that money doesn't show, then you owe me, owe me, owe.
Right. And my girlfriend was so scared that it was a long night. Ladies.
Hey now.
Also about dressing up, my girlfriend showed me her costume, and Vicar, you will like this. It was the Slave Leia. Pictures or it didn't happen, Jonathan. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah, no kidding.
Also, Billy, I wanted to also tell you that the Max Payne movie was okay because the storyline was bouncing around like you wouldn't believe. It bounced from finding the killer of the wife to the devil building an army to some new drug-giving people demented hallucination. So, till Hollywood makes a video game movie that doesn't confuse the hell out of people, make mine GRD. Jonathan in Birmingham.
I don't think Mortal Kombat confused anybody. As far as haunted houses, we get quite a few haunted houses around this. In fact, we even have the haunted barn that happens each and every year right there.
Doesn't beat the Cowadungo.
Oh, God. Cowadungo.
Yeah. Cowadungo.
Oh.
Yeah, we're
we'd
not
have
gonna,
to go there.
Don't, I don't even want to talk about it.
If, so. No, and I'm never playing that commercial.
That's what
for
I
you
have
either.
For print mail.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Then, moving on right along. We do have some voicemail.
Yeah,
in fact, sir, we have a follow-up from our last time that we got together. Here's a follow-up call.
Good morning. This message is for Michael Lescola. This is Fernando from the Pike Market Medical Clinic. To confirm your appointment, this coming Monday, the 10th, at 11 o'clock. If you're going to make it, please give us a call so we can reschedule.
Now, they didn't leave a number to reschedule.
True.
Because otherwise, yeah. I would have called and been like, dude, this is the second time you've called for this guy. This is not his number.
Okay, don't we have a voice on there? When
we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Have we listened to verify this? I think we do, too, but I'm pretty sure I did.
Get your own phone.
Check real quick. All right, let's do this right now. Let's call this, because otherwise...
1, 2, 6, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3
have the name. You know, we could Google the name of this organ, this medical clinic.
You know
probably.
What? Prank them.
You know, I don't think it would be hard to find out and call. I'm just saying.
One ring.
One ring. Okay.
One ringy dingy.
Okay. No, it says every Eastern non-working number. We tried this last time. I tried to call last time. I must not be dialing correctly. That's all it is. Someone else
dialed.
Weird. That's just strange. I don't know. So anyway, Matthew, you do have an appointment tomorrow. If you can't make it, please call these folks.
Yes, it is tomorrow, okay?
All right. Yeah. So, moving on.
Hey, what was that number that you guys played on GRD 30? That sounds familiar.
Well, I believe it was.
Talk dirty to Bullwinkle. Call 1-900-MOOSE-ME.
That's what it was. that was the number. That was.
Okay, very good.
So Bullwinkle checked in. Good to know.
Nice.
Jabba would like to check in with his thoughts
on
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
How do you like the movie Indiana Jones, the new one? I mean, I'm not even 20, 30 minutes into it. I mean, I've counted at least 10, 12 gaffes besides any of the silliness. I will do a commentary for this and threaten the world.
That'd be a humdinger.
It would.
And they will know. George Lucas is an evil, evil man.
Damn. Okay, I don't think anyone's denied that George Lucas is an evil, evil
no,
man.
No, nobody's saying that.
But when you realize that George Lucas originally wanted to do Indiana Jones and the Invasion of the Saucer Men,
yeah,
and Spielberg reined that in, he wanted a full blown out aliens down with laser guns. And,
yeah. Wow.
And this is actually ties into, I don't know how much people actually know about, you know, the Mayan prophecies and everything, but this actually ties into real history, just like the rest of them did.
He's quite mad.
Yeah. Lucas needs medication.
He does.
A lobotomy.
He really, really does. So how is it I like, okay, because people keep pointing out gaffes and stuff. People with their rose-colored glasses, there is nothing any more ridiculous or outlandish in this movie than has been in any of the other ones. I've said it. There we go. Moving on.
Hi, GRD gang. It's Five Rounds Rapid from the forums.
What's up, fool?
Just finished listening to episode 30, and it was okay, except it just didn't live up to the standard that Jabba set on the episode 30 that only happened in his head.
Yeah.
In his episode 30, you guys had a Gilbert and Sullivan medley transitioning smoothly into a Meatloaf tribute. It was awesome. And then Jabba went on about Meatloaf because he loves it. But oddly, in both of them, you talk dirty to Bullwinkle. Anyway, that's all I got.
You know,
good geeking.
Thank you, sir.
Sometimes drunk minds think alike.
True. Yeah.
And in Jabba's mind, wow, I bet they were off key.
I do like Meatloaf. I'm a big fan of Meatloaf.
Love Meatloaf,
so
dude. And you know, Gilbert and Sullivan? Sure. Yeah. Three Little Maids.
I guess I'm just hungry right now. It occurs to me I didn't have much for dinner, but Meatloaf is killer with like the tomato sauce.
Yeah.
God, like as a gravy. Mm. Ooh, but brown gravy is good with Meatloaf too.
That's a Yankee thing, buddy.
Yeah.
Meatloaf, real Meatloaf. Has ketchup. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's just how that works.
Probably is best with ketchup.
All right,
cold
next
ketchup.
One.
Well, now we've got Jabba talking about another movie.
Where are the commercials to the Hulk DVD? And they're like, everybody's good as Iron Man. And it's like, isn't that such a pathetic
kind of,
sales attempt?
I haven't seen that. Is that what it says?
Like, remember that stuff last year that you didn't like at the theater? Well, it's actually as good as the stuff you really like.
That is the Incredible Hulk was not a bad movie, but
no, I just think that's a funny marketing.
It's no, it literally is as good as Iron Man.
Yeah.
This didn't suck as bad as you thought it did.
What a great marketing campaign. I love it.
Okay, sure. You saw the case for that. My wife bought the Incredible Hulk movie.
Okay.
She comes home and says, okay, I can no longer call you a packaging whore, because she bought it from Target, and it's a brick wall with you see two Hulk hands, and you can, and it opens, and there's the Hulk's face behind it.
God, you're scared and stuff. Yeah.
Creepy.
Okay. This year is the first time the children said, you have to buy me this video to support the musician who wrote the song in it. Oh yeah, the cake is a lie.
So he's referring to Jonathan Coulton there, because Jonathan Coulton wrote the closing theme for the Portal game, which mm-hmm. is this is what he's talking about is Portal, and there's the song about the cake being a lie. The closing theme to Portal, also a song you can play in Rock Band.
Oh nice. Ooh. Ooh. It's a big circle.
It's
there.
A big
see, it all works around. Mm-hmm. Wow, now Jabba's going to talk to us about Transformers.
Okay.
Man, I'm flipping around Saturday morning and I see Transformers. Apparently, well, I'm going to get the info button. 2008. So, yeah, made this year. And I don't know much of the story or everything, but, I mean, just the animation, it's so bad. Everything's rounded.
It really is.
I don't know, it looks so influenced by anime, which I don't know how much the original Transformers had. I don't know. For all I know, it actually came from Japan, now I think about it. I know it started as a comic, I believe.
Mm-hmm. No.
Because my buddy had comics, and I remember reading them and thinking how stupid it was, because Optimus Prime, he was such a pansy in the comic. Like, he was all about protecting humans at one point. Like, he sacrificed himself to, like, save one human or something like that. And it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
What a
like,
chode.
When, you know, his existence preserved the continued, you know, existence of humans. Why would one human? And it was some random human too. Anyway, that's yeah. But yeah, like the new cartoon looks bad. It really looks bad, in my opinion. I mean, I think Transformers shouldn't be sleek. They should be big and blocky. Oh man, look, Optimus Prime is so horrible looking.
We're going to get the entire commentary of the show.
Yeah. Does he hang up or does it keep going?
No,
well,
he's done.
Okay.
He hung up.
An Optimus Prime rib would be damn good right now, wouldn't it? Can you imagine?
Like an Optimus Prime rib.
Dude, we need to go to Chili's or something when we're done with this, man. That would rock.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Who knows?
That would rule.
And now, sir, the doctor would like to check in.
Oh, hey, doctor.
Hey, guys. It's the doctor. I was just listening to some stuff on my iTunes, and I came across a song that I think would be great for the Watchmen soundtrack. Which would be Eve of Destruction by Barry McGuire.
I'm
presuming that you guys know that song. You might
never
not,
heard
I don't know.
It.
No.
But if you know it, let me know what you think of that song. Okay? Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay.
I'll
have to check it out. No, I'm not familiar with it. I may know it if I hear it.
Isn't
but.
That... we're on the eve of destruction. Is that it? Is that the one we're talking about?
I have no idea.
I don't know who sings that song, but...
we'll Googleify it.
Okay. You going to do that now?
We Googleify it.
Yeah.
No,
now
I'm busy right now.
Well, oh, right.
Yeah.
Yes, you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
I'm just watching the Mythbusters where they're drunk and they're trying to sober up and...
Jabba's the expert.
Something happened. what happened? He was running on the treadmill and he fell and...
God. Anytime now.
Well, he was on a treadmill. And, he.
I'm gonna get a smoke.
Oh! When he fell, I think Adam.
Yeah, it was Adam.
Which one's Adam?
The other one.
Jamie?
Yeah.
Jamie Adam? One of them fell. And I love it that. either the other one really doesn't like the other one. Or, you know, he's really good about maintaining character. He just stood there and watched him fall, and he got slammed into the wall. The other guy's just standing there.
Being drunk, that's what you do. You watch your friends bust their ass.
Absolutely. Because
it's freaking hilarious.
You know, this is random, but, you know, as I was staring at the ceiling going, oh, my God, this mail's going on forever.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever noticed that weird, creepy little window door thing? What is that?
Yeah,
what is that there on your
that wall?
That is a window that is an overlook from what I use as a guest bedroom, but the house was built with the intention that that room would be sort of like an office, and there's an overlook to the public area down here.
Yeah,
see.
And
that creeps
that's where
me
you
out.
Drop the water balloons from.
One could, yes, but there's no one up there. There is no one there. Don't That's worry. There will be no water balloons falling. So no one living, anyway.
I didn't quite tell you. This is the portion of the voicemails in which the Doctor and Jabba are going to do a sort of a battle.
Oh.
Hey, guys. This is the Doctor. I have a question for y'all.
Okay.
I've heard this term being thrown around a lot lately, and I don't think it's a new term.
Okay.
But I don't know what it means. And that would be indie. Like, I know Braid is called an indie game, and there are some indie movies out there. What exactly is that? What does that mean?
Professor Flynn?
Well. The first time I heard it, I was thinking Indiana Jones.
Not quite.
And then I realized it was not Indiana Jones. So if you guys could, like, help clear that up for me, I would really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, that's very simple. Indie stands for independent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's all I got.
You got major studios, and in the 90s, you had major studios making smaller versions of their own studios to release independent films. Clerks by Kevin Smith is an independent film. Mm-hmm. Technically, Pulp Fiction.
Technically.
It's still a big studio sort of backing it, but it was under an independent banner. It's something that's not a major studio release, and that's along anything, just like... nowadays, you go, you buy a CD from somebody, that's a major artist. But if you have to download it, you know, off of iTunes, MySpace, or whatever, generally you're listening to indie artists.
CD Baby.
Nirvana was an indie band until all of a sudden I woke up one day a year later after Nevermind was out, and they're huge. They're all over the place. So it's
Sundance.
Sundance Music. Sundance Film Festival.
Yes.
Celebrates indie films.
Well, before the game, all commercial.
Yeah, before it began. God damn it. Juno wanted to be an indie film, but wasn't. A lot of things try to pretend to be an indie film, Napoleon Dynamite.
Good
example. That's an indie film. Yeah. There were. So it just means independent film. There you go.
Okay.
Moving on.
Good.
Geek News, taking a look at the world from a geeky perspective. You know, I was listening to you guys talk about comic books, and I was thinking, wow, I really don't care about anything that you're saying. I was like, why are you guys so good, even when I don't care?
What was he
saying? I was thinking about how
comics.
That catchphrase, like, geek news. Is all that planned? That's a lot of little planning and detail, isn't it? You're like, we need to, I can imagine the board meeting where you're sitting around, Billy Flynn, they're like, all right, well, we're going to have a segment called Geek News, but we need a catchphrase to precede it so that it can be cemented in the minds of individuals. And then, you know, it's like a brand marketing. And then, you know, you're like, you try out different ones, and every so often the Bruce comes up with one, and it's a really bad one. You're like, oh, God. And then you came up with a good one. Chocolate cake is bad.
I don't know where the chocolate cake
is. I don't know.
But this particular instance, Geek News, you know, we had this show called Geek Label.
Yes. Yeah. And this is where this stuff was all born. Right. We started, you listen to Geek Label episode 1.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You see, it's a developing thing. The reason that this show is pretty smooth and pretty produced right from episode 1
is because it's just the old show.
Recycling stuff we'd already been doing. So. Yeah.
So Geek News, it was born there. It was just one, we found some interesting little, you know, pompous little music, and it was like, oh.
On the rare occasions we need to get together and talk in the boardroom, we bring in the director of creative stuff for GRD. And he gets
DCS.
His people together. Yeah. His department, his department's in
He's
charge
the chief
of
dicks.
Yes.
Department of creative stuff.
The clit commander.
I make the clit work, baby.
Next.
So, it's a lot of things that you hear now that are sort of standard or whatever. Yeah, it was something that was just tried at one particular point in time and just kind of stuck to the wall. And I'm not going to say the rest of that.
Let's move on.
But planning. Dude, I just got finished for this show about 20 minutes ago, right?
I'm planning my buttocks.
Hey, it's the Doctor.
Hey, guys. This is the Doctor again. Calling with another question.
Okay.
I've been listening to Scott Sigler's Infected.
Good.
Via audio book.
That's going to make him grow up.
But I've noticed that there hasn't been a new posting on that, a new chapter or anything since like mid-August. I don't know if you guys have any info on that, but I know you do your audio book section, so I figured that I would ask you all about that. So, yeah, if you have any info on that, please share it with me, because I'm at like a...
Because you're a junkie, aren't you?
...in that right mm-hmm. now, and I'm dying to know what happened.
Yeah, you are. Because you're a junkie.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, dude. As you probably already know by now, yes, Scott took a little bit of a hiatus. He had a couple of personal things and some family stuff that happened and some crap he had to deal with. He's back on. Infected is, geez, it may be out. No. The Final Nocturnal is out.
Final Nocturnal
the Final
is
Infected
out.
Is soon.
It's soon. It's coming soon.
Yeah, it's by early December it's going to be done. But you probably already know that by now, Doc. So anyway, thank you for calling because, yes, we do tend to have a nice pipeline there. Of course, one of the users on the forums there, May, is Scott's personal assistant. So we got the inside line.
We did.
Saying?
We found out something interesting about the next project that I don't know that we can actually talk about right now.
Oh, so
we
can't.
We don't?
No.
Oh, I don't know it. No.
Oh, that's right.
I wasn't there. For whatever part was.
Oh, you're probably in the back room. I'm not leaving the back room.
Hey, listen, there's women back there. I'm there.
With your skirt rolled up around your waist.
You know, there were
women all through that club. If she's going to wiggle.
See, there were women all through that club. In fact, you know, the vicar missed the booby rub.
The boob off.
Which became, it was just two women, and then three, four, then four, then five. Then some girl walked by. What are y'all doing? We're rubbing boobs. Oh, can I join? Sure.
Oh, I was there.
Oh, yeah, I knew you were there for that, but the vicar missed that and the 80s
so
music.
So for you people out there listening saying, I wonder if I should go to a GRD event.
You absolutely should.
Duh.
Yeah.
And besides, I was looking damn sexy. Thank you.
Oh, I was looking pretty good, too. And that's the great thing about being 6.5 feet tall, that the view is perfect because all the girls were about 5'6".
That and the Sasquatch vision is just outstanding.
It is, especially in the dark. Right, because it's a dark club.
He's
got that, looks like predator vision. From his side, of course, that's what he sees.
And it works.
And here's a message not from Jabba or the doctor.
Well, that's really? Weird.
Hey, it's Sam the Mater again.
Sam!
So I'm led to understand that there's a good way for Matthew McConaughey to suck, and you're not gay. All right. Love the show. Bye.
We were talking about how Matthew McConaughey was in, what the hell is he in?
Sahara?
No. Was it Tropic Thunder we were talking about?
Yes. I have no idea. Yeah, I have no memory of this.
Tropic Thunder that Matthew McConaughey did not suck in that movie.
Yeah, I think you're talking about that. Nat and Tom Cruise.
Is there a way for Matthew McConaughey to not to suck in a way that is not bad? Well, probably.
I'm not gay.
But I don't know personally.
Right.
And I don't need to. No, I never have.
No, we don't know.
He could be the nicest guy in the world. I don't think so. He does strike me as a complete douche.
Vicaris keeps sending him letters and Polaroids, and he hasn't shown up yet, but she's working on it.
And here's a message from Indigo.
Hello, this is Indigo, second time caller. I first called in with the doctor on the Star Wars trivia book.
What's up, Indigo?
But now I think I'll divert from his usual Star Wars diatribe and present that since it is now almost Halloween, at least as I'm making this call.
Sorry.
For anyone looking for a truly good vampire story, anyone who's not enjoying
it's
the True Bloods
Twilight.
And the Twilights, there is the third book in the David Wellington vampire trilogy, which are truly scary vampires that literally rip limbs from bodies and just completely devour the blood. Completely mindless monsters. And seeing as it is Halloween, if there are any geeks out there who love to read, which I know there are a few, and enjoy their horror bloody and full of action, there's nothing like 13 Bullets, 99 Coffins, and Vampire Zero from David Wellington.
Cool titles.
Also, thanks, guys. You've done a great job keeping the lesser informed up on things. And
he called people
I'm
dumb.
Glad to be listening.
Damn.
Anyway, thanks, and have a good day.
No, dude. Thank you, man.
No, thank you,
thank
man.
You.
And look there, making his first call by himself with no help there.
He's all grown up, man. It did touch your brother.
You know, it happened so fast. You turn around. Speaking of
the
doctor.
He was the doctor's bitch, but a day or two ago, and now he's his own boy.
I firmly believe that Monopoly is a game that is designed to demoralize its players.
He just became Jabba right there.
4:50 in the morning.
What?
Playing a game of Monopoly that I started at, I think it was 3 o'clock,
Thursday.
maybe 2:30.
Why you do that?
On my 360. I had all the properties, except for like the utility and the trains, on 2.5 sides of the game board. And I just now went bankrupt.
Good job,
from
Trump.
It all. And it's just really irritating me.
That's how the stock market works.
So what have we learned? Go to bed.
And before you guys ask, Yes. I
five in the morning.
Better to do.
He had nothing better to
do. Sit here at 4:50 in the morning.
Sleep.
And now I'm just observing the last two players, computer players, playing Monopoly. So yeah, I have that. That's how boring and stuff my life is.
Get a girlfriend.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye, dude. I was thinking the very same thing. I'm thinking, you know, there is one thing worth being up at 4:50 in the morning and
Strip
calling
Monopoly.
To tell us about.
Strip
yeah.
Monopoly would have been.
Yeah. Listen. That. If there's something like, right, otherwise, yeah. Dude,
all right,
we're
doctor.
Old men. We got no...
Doctor,
I don't want to hear about that.
Plain and simple.
Go to bed,
Halloween
man.
Night.
If you want to win Monopoly, you have to get the two projects right after go, Baltic and Mediterranean.
Yo, I played Monopoly. I didn't know they had no projects up in
there. Oh, the first two? The little Roach Motels right there at the beginning? My little brother, at age 10, learned this secret. If you get those, which pay nothing, but you get those houses and then get the hotel, next thing you know, oh my God, every time I'm going around paying $400 here, $500 there. Which at the beginning isn't that big a deal, but later when other people, you'll get busted in no time. You, like most people, you get the Roach Motels, you get the projects, become a slumlord, and you'll rule Monopoly. That's just how it works.
Go the good times.
Good to know.
All right.
Speaking of slumlords, it's time to hear from the patron saint of our program.
Oh.
Podcasting's
Rich Siegfried. Outstanding.
Hey, guys. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried here. You know, somebody recently, I believe it was on one of the probably the Return of the Weekly show, when somebody asked about the Geico Gecko, well, I wanted to kind of tie it into nerddom really quick. Because,
please.
excuse me, not
like
that.
You got him too.
Dude, lay off them smokes.
To tie it back into geekdom and nerddom and other kinds of socially awkward
dumb-dum.
People.
Other doms.
Dumbs. The gentleman who does the radio ads for Geico now,
yes.
The voice of the Gecko,
yes.
Is actually the guy who played one of the guys on Torchwood.
Owen.
Shit, what was his name?
Owen. Owen.
Owen.
Was kind of the man whore on the show. No, not Captain Jack.
No.
The other guy.
No.
Something started with a W. Anyway, Flynn,
hit me up with it.
You know what it is.
Yeah. Owen.
But yes, he is the voice of the Gecko. So he talks a lot like this, right?
Right, he does.
And he's got
he talks
really
a lot
wide
this.
Mouth. Now, I do realize that I've just gone off on a ramble, much like Jabba. So, in true Jabba fashion, let me just say one other thing.
So, thank you for calling and talking about English accented wide mouth men.
I'm not gay.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
That was fantastic. Jabba was asking about that, oddly enough. So, it's interesting he became Jabba at the end.
He did.
That was fantastic. And it's Owen.
Channeling.
I forget the actor, but it's Owen. It's not Yanto, who is played by Gareth David Lloyd. It's not him, but it's the guy who plays Owen, and I don't remember his name.
And somebody else is screaming that right now.
Yes, they are. They're like, I don't. Owen's a jackass. I don't like Owen anyway, so there you go. Jabba was watching Heroes and had to say just this one quick thing.
That dude just punched a hole in Parkman. My breath tastes like taquitos.
And by taquitos, he means...
Oh,
my,
okay. You need to stop right there. Sir, we have one last voicemail.
Oh, all right.
Which comes to us from Sarah.
Hey, guys. It's Sarah.
What's up, Sarah?
Two of you know who that is.
Who's
Hi, Flynn. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, this probably won't make it in time for your Halloween episode because I think y'all are recording that tonight.
Well,
but
we were.
Anyways, I wanted to just say that Halloween was really fun. I got to meet the Flynnstress, and that was awesome.
Yes, it was.
Fallout was a blast. Anyone
yes,
who wasn't
times.
There that night, oh, you missed out. Everyone had some really awesome costumes. I had my awesome pirate costume.
Arr,
it was just a lot
boots.
Of fun. So, yeah, I just wanted to stop in and say hey, because I haven't said hey in a while. It's just been a crazy week, so I wasn't able to get this in earlier. So, but, hi. Okay, bye.
Hey, that's what we know. Our week was kind of crazy, too.
Oh, yes, it was.
Now, I've got to tell the story because it was fascinating. Sarah
okay.
and I were having the most interesting conversation about the vicar, never remembering who she is.
Yes, I remember this.
And the vicar was not there at the time.
Nope. Really,
and I said to him, I was like, well, you know, he's probably not going to remember when you walk up. He's like, oh, I'm sure not. And then the vicar walks up, not 5 minutes later, says hi to everyone at the table, looks to Sarah, goes, we haven't met but oh, yes, we have.
I've introduced you twice to her.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So,
I was there.
Good job there, Sarah.
All right. Are we done?
Is that it?
Okay. If you want to drop us some mail, please do so. Email us at podcast@BillyFlynnVicar or TheBruce@GeekRadioDaily.com. Or you can call us. Apparently, you can't do it with Billy's phone.
Not with my phone.
But anybody else, evidently, obviously, can call us at... I don't remember. What's
206-3-FUN-HECK.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
And if you'd like to tell that guy about his appointment, that's not the right
number.
Yeah, please
number. Do. Right,
that's
right.
Not
because
the right
he's going to be – he's going to show up and I don't know. Are we doing a fit club? Do we have anything to say? Good.
Yes, we do.
All right, good.
Well, you look better.
I can't compete with you physically.
You're not strong. You're silky boy.
Oh.
Yeah. What? Really quickly, it is not time to be slacking off on your diets and your workouts. I know it is national eating season coming up for the next
month. Yeah, it is.
You know, between,
I like pie.
Between Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's Eve. Keep yourselves focused. Keep yourselves working out. You know, 20 pounds adds up really, really quickly. Stay in your
20 pounds? Yeah. Amateurs.
Yeah, really.
I can pack on 65 in a week and a half, baby.
Did you see the sweater I was wearing at Fallout?
Yes.
No, I am going to – this season I'm going to go through and I'm still going to be able to wear that damn thing. Yes, indeed,
there
I
you
am,
go.
Sir. Well, you know, actually, sir, I didn't put this in voicemail because this is actually a question for Fit Club.
Oh, hi, hello. Guys. This is Kami Cat from the forums.
Hi.
This message is for the GRD Fit Club, and I was wondering if Bruce could talk a bit about winter training, equipment, keeping warm, getting warmed up. I know I need better gear than I had
Hush.
Last year.
What?
But I'm confused by all the stuff in the sports store. Are those high-tech, expensive fabrics really worth it? Are there any tricks for getting warmed up in the cold? Last year there were a couple of days where, you know, I just, even after half a mile of running, you know, my arms and legs felt heavy, just couldn't get warm, just, you know, and does that mean that it's just too cold to work out outside? Are there safety limits for working out outside? Thanks for everything. Bye.
Yes, there are safety ones. I'll get to that one in just a second. The best way to work out in cold weather environments, you don't have to go out and get the crazy expensive Nike, Reebok, Under Armour, this, that, and the other equipment. The best thing to do is to layer. Keep yourself in layers.
Well, it just matter.
Yeah.
Ha!
You and Brian.
That's a good one.
Keep yourself wearing layers. That way you can actually take them off, open them up, you know, and then when you start warming up, you start taking layers off, and that does lead to the safety problems. When you are working out in cold weather environments, you need to, if you're going to be outside for a long period of time, you know, if you're going to be working out, you're going to go run, you're going to go jump back in your house, there's one thing. If you're going to be out there for long periods of time, make sure that you don't sweat. That's a major problem. Because if you're going to stay outside for long periods of time, you know, especially in very – I'm talking about very, very cold environments. I'm talking near freezing, a little bit below freezing. If you go out there and you sweat, you're going to cool off, and that sweat is going to freeze, and that is going to cause hypothermia. You have to watch out for that. If you're just talking about something that's 20, 30 degrees outside where it's just a little cold, you know, just wear the layers. You could sweat. You just go inside and warm yourself
up. So you're talking about Minnesota action.
Yes, I'm talking about Minnesota-type weather. Okay. I'm talking about, you know – The Upper Peninsula.
My personal advice is to get your Wii Fit. That's the name of the game, not the name of the system. I find that to be very, very helpful, especially on those wonderful days over the last few weeks when I haven't been able to get to the gym at all.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So, no, you don't have to go buy the crazy equipment. It's good. It does work, but just buy normal stuff. You can get it at any sports store.
So that's cool. So
okay, very good. Thank you, though.
Sure. Thank you.
All right, rock on. We're going to come back in a couple of minutes, and apparently we're going to be talking about political films.
Certainly.
So, all right, we'll do that next. Coming up on this here GRD Weekly, episode number 31.
In the world of podcasting, danger lurks around every corner. Tech nerds hand out obscure expertise. Pseudo-psychiatrists give out free advice worth every penny. Sci-fi geeks stalk the unwary, unloading useless trivia. Podcast novelists plot to take over the world and threaten to swallow your soul. It all sounds like an adventure. And if adventure has a podcast, it must be Indiana Jim.
Join me, Indiana Jim, your intrepid arch-geekologist, as I navigate the podosphere. We'll talk to authors and podcasters on the front lines of traditional publishing and the new media, uncover creative audio treasures, find inspiration from the annals of history, and battle the enemies of truth, justice, and the sci-fi geek way.
Go to podcast.indianajim.net today and join the adventure.
Come listen to WapCaplets at WapCaplets.net, a gaming podcast where you're in and out in 5 minutes.
Hello there, boys and girls. This is Robert Llewellyn, the actor behind the mask of Crichton from the BBC television show Red Dwarf, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. And you must be very, very clever.
There it is, GRD Weekly, episode number 31 for the dozen of you.
We're still listening.
Oh my God!
Sorry, guys.
We talk a lot.
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's put this thing to bed. It is our
post-election
almost. It is our post-election show, and so we have opted in our infinite geeky wisdom to talk about political entertainment. Yes, the movies and I dare say television programs.
Oh wow!
That
really?
You have enjoyed politically.
I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, I heard movies. All right, what makes for a political thriller? What is our definition of it? Because I had a hard time narrowing down. There's a lot of stuff that if politics was involved, you know what I mean?
Yeah. See, whereas I completely misunderstood the topic, and I only really picked films about elections.
Okay, well, there you go. I can do that, too. So let's have Billy Flynn start us off.
Well, easily enough, I started with the movie Election.
Election, there you go, with Ferris
okay,
Bueller.
Okay, yeah.
Matthew Broderick, Reese Witherspoon, which is the wonderful story of Tracy Flick, that annoying girl in school. You knew her. You want to push her face into a wall, who really wants to be class president. And Matthew Broderick is the teacher that thinks, you know, this one time, this girl shouldn't get what she wants. And hilarity ensues. As does Guns N' Roses.
Apparently.
So that's fantastic. It's a wonderful look at high school.
It's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Put him on speaker if I knew
sure.
how.
Well, you could try. The
Don't
man said we got to. He's like, we got to hurry up and finish.
Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Wow.
Really?
How are you, sir? We're taping a live episode of
right now.
Geek Radio Daily
Literally.
Weekly number 31, and you are there.
Interrupting.
That is what we call a dick move.
We're recording the damn thing right now.
Even as we speak.
Okay.
Okay. We don't really know, but
if you listen to tonight's show, we talked about it a little bit.
I'll give you a list as we know it, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what I'll do is then I'll make a PDF of that you can actually dump in the feed for people to download and see like where things are at.
Ooh.
Okay. We'll do it to the best of our ability. We were just discussing the fact that given we don't know how many people we're having, it's going to be a little loose and fast and free. But I'll tell you what
That's
we think
what
we're
she
do.
Said.
Right. Yeah. If you guys can come up with kind of a loose plan of like where you're thinking about hitting up, then we could definitely put that up.
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, sounds good, sir. I'm going to continue with my radio show, and I will get that to you. Because you, sir, are the patron saint of Geek Radio Daily.
Exactly. That's why I was a little disappointed you didn't immediately pick up earlier when I called the PRS line. Come on.
I know, I'm supposed to. I'm sorry. Thank you, sir. Dominus Omnibus. You'll be all right.
Rictus Abdominis.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that was fantastic.
Appearance
there we go.
Podcasting's Rich Siegfried on this here show.
Yeah. So, yeah, the movie Election. There you go. Bruce? Okay.
Well, if it's all right, if I may jump in, as
sure.
long as we're talking about comedic election films,
yes.
I would like to mention Dick.
Thank you. That's on here as well.
There you go.
Michelle
That's
Williams,
funny,
Kirsten
funny,
Dunst,
funny movie.
Dan Hedaya as Nixon, hysterical. A look at what really could have happened behind, before we knew that Mark Felt was Deep Throat, which ruined the whole damn thing.
When we went, oh.
Spoiler.
Really? It was you? Yeah. Just like, spoiler. You know, if we ever find out who Jack the Ripper is, we're going to be like,
oh, really?
What?
That guy?
Huh.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That movie's damn funny. You need to see that. That's, and,
That's
oh, God, at the end of the movie when they're in those little American flag outfits. Dancing Queen, indeed.
Vicar-like.
Yeah. I didn't go with the comedy for my first one. I went for the first one I remember seeing, which is The Contender in 2000.
Oh, okay.
I did Lane not Hams- like this movie.
I like this movie.
Oh,
this
I did
was
not
a
like
very,
this movie at all.
I actually really did like this movie. It wasn't the typical, you know, political thriller. It's about a woman who is a senator who is being nominated for the vice presidency because the current vice president had passed away.
Right.
And the whole scandalous...
He said
we're going to basically... we're going to tear you apart through the media and the political scandal that goes around with it. And it's just a really very good film. I like it.
I have no recollection of this film whatsoever.
You would not like it.
Oh, okay.
You might. I don't know. I didn't enjoy the film. Let me see. Can we go with JFK? Can we call this
absolutely.
A political
film?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course we can.
Because it's a mystery. It's a historical mystery.
Wrapped in enigma. Back and to the left. Back
and to the left. What a great movie, dude.
Fantastic.
What a great
movie.
I don't care if Oliver Stone made up all
everything,
of that crap.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. That's tight, yo. Speaking of Oliver Stone, I got to go. And speaking of Dick. I got to go Nixon. Underrated political picture.
Very
Sir
much
Anthony
so.
Hopkins as Richard Nixon. You wouldn't think it. Watch the film. That's a tight movie right there, yo.
And it was just a couple episodes ago for JFK, Movies You Should See, tackled
did,
that
they
one.
Did
and
one.
By all means,
yeah.
You should
show.
Always listen to them. They are fantastic.
What a good show. Movies You Should See. Yeah.
It's a good one. Now, just as far as political films in general as to how messed up our politics and stuff are, I don't know what made me put this in there, but I put in Wag the Dog.
Yes.
I never saw Wag the Dog.
Yes. Really?
I'm familiar with it. Dustin Hoffman and De Niro, I think, in that.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is so good. It is so fun. It's one of those where everybody is in the movie for like at least 2 minutes. Everybody is in the movie. Willie Nelson's in the movie.
Wow.
Oh God, okay? This is where, you know, the president may or may not have had improper contact with a sunflower girl in the bathroom in the Oval Office. And they create a war to distract the American people to keep them from, you know, really knowing what's going on.
The election's going to happen in about 2 weeks' time,
yes,
right?
Yes, 2 weeks' time.
And it's like, hey, okay, we'll forget about this. Here, shiny object. Let's start a war. Yeah.
And the fun thing about the timing of this is right after this happened is when the Monica Lewinsky story broke, and then all of a sudden Clinton decides we're going to go invade somebody, and a reporter said, is this a Wag the Dog situation? Literally asked the president that, and that
good
was
job.
Fantastic.
Nice.
Would we consider, by the way, Kevin Costner, one of my favorite films, No Way Out, given that it came out in 1987 when we were still in the Cold War, you have political – it takes place in Washington. You've
true.
Got a senator, Gene Hackman, as the senator who kills his girlfriend and then tries to peg it on this shadowy figure, the shadowy Russian agent who may or
Alec
may not
Baldwin?
Actually exist.
Uh-huh.
Is this a political thriller or is this not a political thriller?
I don't know. I would kind of consider it a political thriller.
It's a thriller
with
political connotations in it.
This is one of my favorite films of all time. It is probably my favorite of that genre, if we consider it one. No Way Out. Sean Young is in this. Gene Hackman is in this. And a young Kevin Costner. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff, dude.
Yeah. The one I liked the most was...
Talk to the side.
Talk to the side of the microphone,
better
please.
That's better. Mm-hmm. Okay, this microphone's weird.
Yes, so are you.
Only because it's coming out in 2000. They're doing a remake for 2009.
Okay.
Is 1984. I remember reading the book.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I never actually saw the movie, but I want to see the remake they're going to be making for this. After an atomic war, it's the whole three nation states of Oceania, Europa, Eurasia, I think.
We have always been at war with Eurasia.
Yeah. And then we've all been always at war with Europa. And,
double think.
Yeah.
Which politics all
and
the time.
And it is just, if you have any interest in politics whatsoever, read this book and you just, it'll be amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Stuff based on true stories, All the President's Men.
Fantastic.
You kind of got to go back to that. That's one of the originals. What year? Was this like 70?
70,
was it that early?
74?
I want to say 74, but I could
I think
be totally wrong about that, too.
76.
76.
Okay.
No, there you go.
You've got Robert Redford, and once again, we have Dustin Hoffman.
Yes,
think, right?
Oddly enough.
And the Nixon, the breaking down of the Nixon machine by
you know,
the,
watching that and Dick back-to-back is incredible.
That would be fun.
It's incredible. I've done that. It's a great double feature.
I saw it in college for the first time as part of a class, and I think that's probably a good idea. You want to know what's going on in the early 70s, you watch All the President's Men.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. 1972, Robert Redford, The Candidate, where he is a young U.S. senator and he's going to run for president. It's a comedy, and it's all about what happens when you get caught up in the political aspect. I'm running. Oh, my God, well, what am I actually going to do? You know, it's an interesting look at the election process in a way I don't think we'd ever seen in film before. And it's quite funny. Peter Boyle's in it. He's always great. He doesn't sing Putting on the Ritz, unfortunately.
No, that's sad, though. That's sad.
That it would have been good. But he pretty much does. He tries to do what his conscience tells him versus his ambition. And it's a fascinating look at what anyone would have to do running for public office.
Dr. Strangelove. How I learned to stop worrying and love the bomb. 1964. Oh, absolutely funny.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the
war
room.
Peter Sellers has three different roles in this movie. It is absolutely hilarious. It just line after line after line. And the scene where the cowboy is riding the bomb.
Slim Pickens.
Yeah. Just swinging the hat around, ready to go.
Peter Sellers was supposed to play that role as well.
Oh, was he? Now?
He was, but he got an injury and couldn't do it. And so Slim Pickens did it. And I couldn't imagine anybody but Slim Pickens in that role.
Exactly.
Crazy. Yeah. Bob Roberts. The movie Bob Roberts is fantastic. Tim Robbins.
I did not see this film.
A mockumentary about following a folk singing Republican candidate.
Yeah.
It's only for senator. It's only for state senate. But it's fascinating. A very, very young Jack Black is in this movie as well.
Really?
Very. Funny. Very. Because it's like 1992, I believe, when Bob Roberts came out. Fascinating look at what someone would do, you know, and how much a campaign can really take what's going on and twist the media, as we see happening all the time nowadays. It's weird how so many of these things that are like these farceful, crazy things have really happened. I mean, these things just are going on. The smear campaigns, if I can just delve into our current election just for a moment.
Okay.
The fact that Karl Rove stood there in South Carolina and preached the wonders of John McCain when 8 years ago he stood there and told people he had an illegitimate black child
Is
just the damnedest, strangest thing you'll ever see.
When McCain ran against Bush for the nomination.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing.
Incredibly crazy. Incredibly crazy.
You got to mention Dave, I guess.
You do, because that's a great
movie.
It's
a piece of fluff. It's a good picture.
But it really is.
We're talking about all these series, and then you get Dave, which, no, is not going to add anything, in my opinion, to the great discussion.
But of all the movies that ever wanted to be Kafka-esque, Dave is the closest one.
I once caught a fish this big.
You're not my husband.
Now, the American president, in my opinion, is just a giant jack-off to the Clinton administration.
Yeah.
It's a giant love fest to the
Absolutely
Clinton years.
Absolutely is.
And as the vehemently Clinton-hating individual that I am, I've never seen the film. So first of all, you can tell me to go to hell, because if you haven't seen the movie, you got no right to, you know. Yeah.
I've seen
it. But I know enough about it that I feel like I don't need to. Already know the deal.
It's one of those things where if you want to have just absolute cookie cutter carbon, you know, this is your good guy. It's your basically the old Westerns, white hat good guy, black hat bad guy. It's one of those movies, and it's not really a character study in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Bullworth.
The mighty Bullworth.
Talk about an unrated movie right there.
Warren Beatty is a down on his luck senator. He's running for re-election. He's so sick of himself that he sends out a hitman to kill him himself, and he just goes, absolutely, I'm going to say everything I've ever wanted to say, and goes off crazy. It's wonderful.
Which, that is fantastic. You want an interesting look at politics? Oddly enough, Peter Sellers in Being There, in which he plays...
Oh, man, you're digging. Okay.
But I like this one because, again, this is... Peter Sellers plays a man. Basically, he's mentally challenged, I believe is what we call folks now. He has the IQ of like a 10-year-old at best, and he's lived in this house all his life. He takes care of the garden. He's the guy who... you know, hired everybody. The rich man dies, and this guy just walks out on the street and is hit by a car by the wife of a political advisor, and all of a sudden this mental idiot becomes one of the most trusted people in Washington, and no one catches on that he's just this dumb. He just talks about stuff that he saw on TV, and everyone thinks that it's brilliant. And that it's a darkly comic film in that way. It's sad and crazy and hysterically funny all at the same time, and probably close to how Washington actually
how
works.
Really works. Yeah,
I said it.
The distinguished gentleman.
The distinguished gentleman.
Eddie Murphy.
Any comments on The Distinguished Gentleman? It's not a deep film.
It's not.
No, it's not.
It's really not. It's Eddie Murphy. You'll see it and enjoy it if you like Eddie Murphy.
James Garner's in there at the beginning, too.
James Garner is good. Yeah.
And, you know, Fred Thompson, who was running for the nomination, is in the film as well.
That.
Yeah.
That dude was going to try to be in this race.
Yeah, he was.
He was for about 10 minutes.
He was for a while,
He might have had a chance if he'd actually announced his candidacy before everyone got bored
Speaking
with it.
Speaking of Fred Thompson, do we consider the adaptations of, you know, The Hunt for Red October?
All the Jack Ryan movies.
And Patriot Games. Are these political films? I don't think so.
Hunt for Red October, I think, has the best chance because it's
very much
steeped
period,
in the Cold War thing.
It's steeped in that stuff, but is it a political movie or is it a thriller that's just set in the Cold War?
I don't know.
That's a toughie.
I don't know.
I think I have to decide against it belonging in this category.
Against.
Well, I think it kind of fits in there. It's set along those political lines, but yeah, it has that as the background. Not overly important.
Then quickly also got to throw out Primary Colors.
Yeah.
Primary Colors, I did
Based
not see
on the
Primary
book by
Colors.
Anonymous, who we learned was Joe Klein.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to give that away for you, which
Spoiler.
Was a look at the Clinton administration without really saying so. John Travolta, hysterical in that. John Travolta, quite hysterical in that. Was it Emma Thompson playing what was to be Hillary Clinton?
I do not recall.
But it's an interesting look at the this charismatic little country boy kind of guy running for president, and it's not at all disguised. It's so the Clinton administration easily. But an interesting look at the rise to power that way and how everybody dealt with all the crazy things that came up in that campaign.
Nobody has seen it, but since we already mentioned Oliver Stone,
yep.
W's out.
I do have to see that.
I want
to
see this. Yeah.
I do want
to
see it.
I love Oliver Stone, so I am anxious to see that. But none of us have seen it, so I guess we can't really...
I don't like it when we can't talk about things.
One that you and I have mentioned in the car that's going to be coming out this year.
Yes, I so want to see
this. Frost Nixon
is going to be outstanding.
It's 3 years after Nixon has left the office. He has been silent all these years. He's going to do one tell-all interview, and he picks Frost to be the interviewer. It's a British...
Not Jack Frost.
No, right. Because it'd be clear
Killer Snowman would
That'd
be great.
Sweet, though. Would. Versus Nixon? That would be sweet.
Snowman wouldn't stand a chance.
Damn right.
And it's just... it's going to be a great film.
Only Nixon could in China.
It looks very, very... It really happened. And, you know, Nixon just, you know, dicking with the guy the whole time.
Yeah.
No pun intended there.
Yeah,
I get it.
See what I did? It was funny.
Yeah, I did.
You got another movie there, sir?
If it comes to me, yeah.
I think it's your turn.
I'm pulling out of my ass.
It is your turn, though.
Well, I can go to television.
Okay, well, go for it.
Benson. The dude is the governor, right? So that's a political show.
Sure. Well, considering he started as, like, you know, part of the kitchen staff.
Yeah, I know.
And ended up lieutenant governor. In fact, in the series finale, it was him and Gene Gatling running against each other for governor, and we never found out who won.
You got the wacky German housekeeper or cook or whatever the hell she was.
Yeah.
Benson, yo.
Benson. Okay.
Why?
That's crazy of you.
All right. Granted, television-wise, really, I got nothing to say other than
I figured
the
you were going to throw out the West Wing, yeah.
Because West Wing's in a class on its own.
Well, thank you for throwing the curveball, because I really thought that's where you were going.
West Wing is in a class by itself. There's not a whole lot I need to say about that, because you guys already know my love for the West Wing.
That is true.
We cannot go without mentioning Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
I heard you went to Washington.
Yeah.
Wasn't Mr. Smith a monkey?
No.
No,
I'm thinking about a different movie.
You are.
Yeah, and it's not, surprisingly enough, it's not a porn this time.
Oh, damn. He said you watch monkey porn.
Oh. Monkey pole.
Everybody's seen Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
I've never seen it.
And if you haven't, of course, he's the, you know, naive, idealistic guy
who gets to go
to Washington and he thinks he's going to change the world. And turns out the place is corrupt, which is...
No.
Surprisingly enough.
Oddly enough, you know, the distinguished gentleman is kind of that, where he is a crook himself who goes and sort of becomes the Jimmy Stewart character, which is very odd. Very odd for him. I did like that movie. I still love that movie.
Yeah.
Although I like the version they did in The Simpsons better when Mel Gibson redid it and they had the big ending where he decapitates the president. That was fantastic.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
That's my bush.
That's my bush.
Which was funny up until 9/11.
No, I'm going to disagree with you there.
Okay.
I didn't get it.
It wasn't funny.
I did not watch
That's My Bush.
This is what it was.
I don't have anything to say.
It was a traditional sitcom, but it was about the president.
Yeah.
Now, in itself, that should be hysterical, but somehow it wasn't. The fact that George W. Bush dropped acid right before a big, huge meeting should have been incredibly funny.
Should have been.
But it just wasn't for me. I don't know what it was about it, but it just... Now, Little Bush... Little Bush.
The animated
hysterical.
Little Bush. Yeah.
Little Condoleezza Rice. And then, you know.
When he meets Tony Blair, he's like, your son fascinates me. So Love Actually has a little bit of political.
I love
a little
movie.
Bit of political overtone. Some of the mini stories.
I forgot to put it on my list. I rewatched that about 2 weeks
ago. That's a good movie. It really is.
Do you really love
it? I do.
Love
I do like that movie. It's a really good movie.
Bro, didn't I loan you that?
Anything's possible.
Maybe. Believe so.
Well, bravo,
the one
sir,
girl
I'm
that was naked in that pretty much the entire film.
Oh, well, that's... She is.
Billy Bob Thornton as the president.
Yeah.
Versus Hugh Grant.
Because Hugh Grant is the prime minister.
Wow. Can you say what kind of message were they going for?
Yeah,
that
I know. That
message
was,
for you, sir.
That was thinly disguised. But I adore this film. I'm such a big girl with regard to this movie. But I suppose it's kind of sort of really stretching it political.
Well, if you want to really stretch it political, I do have to throw out The Great Dictator. Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, Chaplin. He already had the mustache.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Playing Hitler, dude. Playing a dictator. Just an amazing look at what someone like... How do you become someone like that? How do you rule the world like that? Just weird. It's a genius film. You know, Charlie Chaplin, known for his silent comedies. This totally misunderstood at the time, and people tried to bury it. But you watch that. That movie is incredible. That is an incredible film.
Yeah.
What you got, Bruce?
Last one I have on my list is Charlie Wilson's War. It's recent.
I wanted to see that. I did want to see that.
I haven't actually seen this one. It was just on the list. It's the last thing I could think of. Womanizer, Charlie Wilson. It's apparently it's based on a real
it's based on true story. Yeah,
real story. Mm-hmm. Congressional representative. He's on two Senate panels, and you know, and his this other woman, Julia Roberts, is like, you know,
other
hey,
woman.
Why don't you just go ahead and stop the war in Afghanistan? Okay, why don't I do that? You know, Philip Seymour Hoffman is the CIA agent, and hilarity apparently ensues.
There is no hilarity whatsoever, but if you want current political messages, rent The Kingdom.
Okay.
This came out last year. This was about a military group that goes to Saudi Arabia, supposedly friendly sort of Saudi Arabia. I think it's Saudi Arabia they go to. And it's just ripped right off of CNN, dude. It's a... Ooh, I saw it, and it was a little too soon kind of stuff for me.
Yeah.
But it's politics, what's going on, what's really going on. It came out last year. Jamie Foxx was in it. Damn, I can't remember who else is in this thing.
Somebody else.
Anyway, The Kingdom, rent it. Be prepared for no hilarity. This is a sort of thing. Kind of like watching Black Hawk Down for me, because Black Hawk Down was literally based on a very true event. But Somalia, you could almost call that a political picture because it is just so carbon copy of
what was actually happening.
Anyway,
at the time,
what was actually happening. Do we want to go Manchurian Candidate here?
Yeah. Well,
which one?
Well, hold on.
Well,
before we do, because that's where we should stop, I want to throw out not quite as hysterical as it should be, but Canadian Bacon. Directed by Michael Moore. John Candy's last film.
Right.
This has Canadian actors playing Americans and American actors playing Canadians, and it's kind of funny that way. That's hysterical.
Yeah, that's clever.
The president, Alan Alda. Ha ha ha. So he did get to be the president.
That's right.
Okay, people don't like him. You know, he's got a downward turn. What does he need? We need the Cold War back. We need the Russians back. We need to do this because that's when we were. And the Russians are like, no, forget this. We don't want to do it. So they manufacture a war. With Canada. and John Candy's a sheriff right there. What is it, in Buffalo? He's right there near the border to Canada. And they seem to think that the Canadians are going to invade us, so they decide to do it first. So
I'm going to hit you back first.
It's not as funny as it could be, but it's a really good idea that I think with another rewrite and maybe someone else. Michael Moore, okay, you do interesting documentaries. I don't know you can handle a film.
Right.
But as far as political, yes, the Manchurian Candidate. Good one.
Manchurian Candidates. Yeah. I admire the upgrade. I admire the idea of taking it and setting it, because, yes, it is still relevant. The core of the Manchurian Candidate you can set in just about any time period with very few tweaks.
You could.
Mm-hmm. It did not live up to what it wanted to be. I didn't hate it.
Yeah, but if you're going to watch it, just watch the first one. Literally.
And Sabretooth is in it.
An old one or new one? If both of them,
Tyler Mayne was not in it, to my knowledge.
Okay,
that's true.
That's a shame.
That's true.
The original Frank Sinatra, Angela Lansbury, just the crazy amount of people that are in that movie. Astounding for at the time, its use of imagery as spelling out for foreshadowing is what's going to happen. It's you watch it now and it's kind of blatant, but at the time, people had never really seen a movie like that, and the chilling, the things that when you see what actually happened to these people. You know, your programming sequence, I guess, if you want to call it that. Ah, that's some creepy stuff. And why? All because of what they want to do. There's always a political agenda for somebody. That's the problem with politics. You never know who the good guys are because I don't think any of them truly are.
No.
Yeah.
None of them really are.
All right.
Sorry.
I know we're going to get mail.
We
and
are.
We're going to get
you forgot this.
How could you not mention yada yada? But remember, there are no notes here. Bruce has notes. Flynn and I are just talking about stuff as it occurs to us.
Yeah.
So,
sorry.
Yeah. And we're at like an hour and a half or more. So,
Christ monkeys.
Get rid of this.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. So,
shall we push the button?
Let's
push
go ahead and push
the
button.
Push the button, Frank.
Man. They're tired of listening to us now. Geek Radio Daily Weekly is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 U.S. license. Sometimes I like to call it the whole title.
Okay, that's fine.
That is the whole title.
Fine,
you know?
Dude.
Extend the show out.
Review us on iTunes. Join in the social geek working over on the forums. Find forums they are at geekradiodaily.com/forums. buy some gear, including
panties
at cafepress.com/geekradiodaily. They cuddle the muffin. Email us at podcast@vicarbillyflynn or thebruce@geekradiodaily.com, or leave us a voicemail at 206-338-6432.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
Audio turd nuggets.
I thought it was piss wrapped in poo.
Well, how do you guys say goodbye?
I had to ask.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Catch you later on down the trail.
Welcome to Election Night Special. There's great excitement here at the moment, as we should be getting the first results through any moment now. We don't know where it'll be from. It might be from Leicester or from Luton. The polling's been quite heavy in both areas. Oh, wait a moment. I'm just getting a loud buzzing noise in my left ear. Excuse me, love. Well, there's the first result, and the silly party have held Leicester. What do you make of that, Norman?
Well, this is largely as I predicted, except that the silly party won. I think this is mainly due to the number of votes cast. Gerald.
Well, there's a swing here to the silly party, but how big a swing, I'm not going to tell you.
Well, if I may, I think the interesting thing here is the big swing to the silly party, and, of course, a very large swing back to the sensible party, and a tendency to wobble up and down in the middle because the screw's loose.
I'm afraid I can't think of anything.
I can't add anything to that. Colin!
I just butt in at this point and say this is, in fact, the very first time I've ever appeared on television.
No, we haven't time because we're going straight over to Luton.